So we report on studies and statistical surveys a lot on this program. And yesterday we actually talked about a Gallup poll that showed more Americans in favor of gay marriage than not. A first since back in 1996 when the poll began asking Americans their opinion on the subject. Americans change with the times, but each one of those statistics means a mind gets changed, either because of circumstances or because of fashion or because of some sort of insight and wisdom into the issue, which causes a real sort of meeting of the minds, a changing of the minds. And the question is, how difficult is that, depending on whether you're doing it at home, doing it among your, kids, your spouse, or whether you're doing it as a matter of policy? Joining us now is Diane Ravitch, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Education and an educational historian, currently a research professor at NYU's Steinhardt School of Education. Diane, good morning.
Good morning.
So you changed your mind pretty famously. I remember reading the New York Review of Books piece where you talked about your view of educational reform changed very much from the days when you actually were a supporter of the No Child Left Behind Act.
Yes, indeed. I came to the conclusion that it wasn't working and that it actually is very harmful to education, to kids, to our society, and I'd love to see it disappear.
And this was because the idea seemed great, but then when you saw its actual application and what was happening in classrooms and the people you were talking to, it turned you around. Is that basically it?
Yeah. The evidence, it hadn't been tried before on any large scale. And having the federal government closing schools, which it's doing now, is just awful based on what are really very superficial measures of whether kids know things.
All right. A hard decision for Diane Ravitch, but she's sticking with it, and actually the evidence is supporting her. Catherine Schultz is the author of Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error. There's a policy example of a significant change of mind. Catherine Schultz, how difficult is it to actually look at the evidence, decide, boy, my original idea here was completely off the mark?
Well, for good and for ill, it is pretty darn difficult, as I'm sure most of your listeners know. The reality about our beliefs is that we're not just attached to their sheer intellectual content, right? These beliefs are embedded in huge systems, and they're embedded in societies and communities. And so I sometimes borrow the language of economists who like to talk about sunk costs. A sunk cost is how much money or resources you've already spent on something. You've bought this $5,000 car and it keeps breaking down and you keep spending more money on fixing it, but you can't let go of the thing because you feel like, well, but now I've spent all this money on it.
Well, even a better example is how many people we've lost, say, in Iraq or Afghanistan or in Vietnam, that basically that cost justifies a continuation of a policy even if it becomes more questionable.
Exactly. And we all do this in our own personal lives as well. Our beliefs have sunk costs. At a certain point, we aren't just attached to the belief. We're attached to what it means about our identity, what it says about our friendships, how it connects us to other people, how publicly we've staked that belief. And so to change your mind, it's not just a question of evaluating the veracity and validity of a belief. It's also facing up to what it's going to mean to extricate yourself from that very dense network of beliefs that you've created.
That's Catherine Schultz, author of Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error. Diane Ravitch, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Education. Diane, very often those who change their mind in big ways often become the most committed converts, the most strong advocates for the other position. Why is that?
Well, I was just going to reflect on what Catherine said, because what she said is so important. I spent many years of my life, certainly the last 15 years until I wrote this recent book, in which I was a strong advocate of testing, accountability, choice, markets, and I had lots of friends who agreed with me, and that's, I think, part of what she's saying with sunk costs. You associate with people who agree with you. You listen to talk show hosts and television programs that agree with you, and you just get more and more reinforced that I'm right. And to step back and to say, whoa, wait a minute, what if I'm not right? That involves a tremendous other cost, and it's not a sunk cost. It's the cost of being ostracized by the people that you have been your very close friends, your professional colleagues, the people that you have gone to battle with or who have been your allies, and becoming an outcast. And that's in a way what happened with me.
There's a conflict, it seems, in Washington particularly, between the value of loyalty and the value of truth telling. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's always true. I think that when you go into some kind of a contentious situation, you look around and you say, "Who are my friends?" And we got to stick together. And it's really hard for the light to shine through to say, "Wait a minute, what if you're fighting the wrong cause? Whether it's a war,
right,
or where people are being killed, or a policy issue." It's very tough for people to re-examine their views. It was certainly tough for me, and it had personal cost, but. And then you ask the question of do converts become more outspoken? I think in my case I have become far more outspoken because I feel I have to justify some of the things that I believe have had really, really negative impact on kids, on schools, on teachers. And I feel like I have a debt that I have to pay.
A mission to correct, in fact.
Well, yeah. I want to clear my own personal record,
right,
but also people say to me, "You advocated for these terrible things," and I said, "That's why it's my obligation to advocate as hard as I can to reverse the damage that was done."
Diane Ravitch is former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Education, a former advocate of No Child Left Behind, now a critic of that reform program. Catherine Schultz, hold on here. We're going to let you listen to one of our listeners who was a part of this conversation yesterday about the changing of minds regarding gay marriage. Here's someone who weighed in.
This is Amanda from Oklahoma. When I was in high school, I was a very strict conservative. And after I got to college and actually got out of my world, I became a very big liberal, even a socialist, because I believe that everybody should have the same rights as everyone else.
You know, Catherine Schultz, changing minds is actually done all the time in America, as difficult as it is.
It is done all the time in a certain sense, and your caller is a great example. I mean, one very classic way to change your mind is to change your context. And in this listener's case, two things were going on. First of all, she left her home and her familiar environment and moved into a different world and was exposed to a completely different set of ideas and was able to embrace those ideas, which is much easier to do in a novel context than in your old context. It's quite hard to stay in one place, in one community, and say, I used to be deeply conservative and now I'm deeply liberal, but everything else around me has stayed the same. That's rare.
Mm.
But changing context and changing with that context is less rare. This caller also had the experience, it sounds like she left for college and changed. And so some
right.
of what's going on there is developmental. You know,
sure.
we change over the course of our lifetimes, and one would hope so, right? I mean,
indeed.
That's what it means to grow up.
Catherine Schultz is the author of Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error. We also talked with Diane Ravitch, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Education. Innovators and Nobel scientists describe over and over again the importance of being wrong if you want to really make advances. Thanks to both of you.
What have you changed your mind on?
My name is John Glaze from Enid, Oklahoma, and I totally turned around on my views on gay marriage and homosexuality, period. I was raised in evangelical Christianity, and the thing that changed it for me is just allowing myself to be open to all possibilities. And whenever I did that, I was able to look at it all rationally and realize that these people aren't bad. They're just like me.
Give us your stories of changing your mind at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry.